The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Rockin' 101, shit, she compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates, and in case after case, run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snakes.
Joining us now on Bucko Banter for a very special episode is Brian Giles and Jason Kendall. Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome back to Pittsburgh. How's it going?
Thank you. It's going great. I mean, we've had a blast. Physically, Jason and I haven't seen each other in a while, but you know, we've kept in touch through the phone, and just to be out here and share this. 25 years ago, this place opened. We've been talking about it all week. I can't believe it's been that long. Crazy.
And it feels like, I guess, first of all, thanks for having us, Scott and Adam, but it feels like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's just a weird feeling because it feels like it was yesterday. And it's 25 years. And, you know, you got to enjoy your time as a ball player. I know that he tells, you know, the kids that he, like the kids, I mean, from Little League on up to the big leagues, enjoy it because it goes by so quick. And I mean, this is proof right here, but it's really good to be back and, you know, watch some good baseball with a good baseball team.
Jason and Brian, what's it like feeling that energy at PNC Park now, and especially with the cones? I saw you guys partaking some cone stuff at Giant Eagle. What's that all been like?
Personally, I have no idea what it is. And someone said something about a cone. I asked Nikki Gonzalez, and I go, "What is it? What is it?" And he goes, "I don't know." And this was 2 days ago, and you know they've already played six games.
Right,
so,
right.
I have no idea what it was. They just asked us to say something, and we said it. And next thing you know, we might have signed 100 cones yesterday. Just our autograph on 100 cones, and I still don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's funny because yesterday we did like an autograph session on Federal Street there, and I was telling him, I'm like, dude, this is weird. And I said, we're not even playing today, but I'm still nervous. You have those butterflies on opening day, and you know, I think just the anticipation of why they brought us back here 25 years, this place opened up, and just all the memories. I think it brings back a lot of good memories and a lot of good times.
What was that experience like? Obviously, you guys played at Three Rivers, which was a staple here for so long. You go down the Bradenton, and then you come up to see PNC Park for the first time. Jason, what was like that moment walking in and seeing this cathedral of a ballpark open up for the first time?
It's still, without a doubt, in my mind, the most gorgeous ballpark in all of baseball. I don't care what anybody says. Obviously, I'm a little biased because I played here and was fortunate enough to help open it up. But just, to, you know, seeing Connor Griffin get his first knock yesterday, as loud as I've seen it ever, you know, as far as playing, as far as, you know, I was probably one of the very few that was upset to see Three Rivers go because I hit a lot of ground balls and those ground balls went through
fly, yeah.
But obviously coming in, it's a pretty good upgrade. I wish the 410 in left center, I couldn't tell you how many balls I hit right there at 410 and they caught that would have been out of Three Rivers. But it's just a gorgeous ballpark, and the atmosphere yesterday was what Pittsburgh needs.
Yeah. And Brian, talk about your transition here to Pittsburgh from Cleveland. You were blocked with it in the outfield there in Cleveland, and you come over for Ricardo Rincon. I know you've had comments about Gene Lamont being a big part of your transition here to Pittsburgh. Talk about that transition coming here to the Pirates.
I talked about it a lot throughout this week, and you know, I was drafted by Cleveland, so you kind of grow up in that system. And you know, when I've never been traded until I got traded to Pittsburgh, you're a little down, you know, you don't know what to expect. But the first thing that that Gene Lamont said when I walked into the clubhouse in Bradenton, Florida, for spring training. He's like, "You're playing every day." I said, "I get to play against lefties." He's like, "You're playing every day." So we've talked about it a lot this week, but man, what an opportunity. I didn't know the opportunity I was going to get, and to be able to take advantage of that opportunity, and then to meet guys like Kendall and Kevin Young and guys that were kind of the nucleus when we were here. It was the best move for me, for sure.
Talk about the presence of a good manager. I mean, obviously Gene Lamont had a big impact on your career. Now we got Donnie Kelly, who's a Pittsburgh guy. What is it like having a positive presence through 162? Because obviously ups and downs through baseball season, you're spending a lot of time with the guys in the clubhouse. You know, it's like a family. Things, you know, can get a little shaky sometimes. It's relationships, but having somebody there that can bring a positive presence every day. Do you guys see that in Don Kelly, and how important is that for a manager?
I don't necessarily know Don Kelly.
Yeah.
It seems like he's a great, I haven't heard anything negative about Don Kelly. Sure. So he's, but I know just as playing and as managing, I've been in the front office. I work now with the commissioner. So I've kind of seen all aspects of, I felt like I have managed behind the plate since I haven't managed in the big leagues, but I've managed for over 2000 games in the big leagues, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But, you know, everybody talks about culture, this culture. You have to have structure. It's kind of like raising kids. You have to have structure. Then the culture will come. And you can take care of that in the first day of spring training. I guess what I'm trying to say is it's just an even keel thing. And if you have that, take care of it. Guys, this is what's going to happen. As a manager, 10 games is too much, but you should only be in a – you should only win or lose 5 or 10 games. 10 games is way, way much. So – these guys are grown men. They're good. They're athletes. They're at a level that they're gifted. They're gifted athletes. Let them play. Let them play. You're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have your maybe locker room fights here and there, because you are with each other every day. You are with each other more than you are your own family. I think that literally, and you guys have heard it all the time, that even keel is such a huge thing. You're going to go 0-8. You're going to go 10-1. Those are going to happen. It's just kind of when you stop it, let it happen again. But as a manager, you have to be that guy that people look at and just be like, "Hey, guys, we're all right. Let's go."
Yeah, it's to me, it's managing personalities, right? And
26 Jason, now.
Yeah, I don't even know how many on roster now since COVID, but it's crazy. But it's managing personalities, and I think if you ask Gene Lamont and Lloyd McClendon. He didn't have to manage us because we knew how to take care of ourselves, right? So that eliminates. Now we're down to 23 guys if it has to be, but it's managing that personality. And like you guys said, we're family. We're with each other more than we are our own family. So it's a manager's job is how do I get the most out of that personality, that player? And we are fortunate to have two good managers here. We had fun.
Yes, absolutely. And
I keep forgetting too, guys. We've been asked and we haven't answered it yet. But when they called you out at first base here at PNC and
and you know what, to piggyback on his answer right there, the personalities, it's huge. And getting the different personalities to do what they're capable of doing and not too much, especially when you are struggling, when you are that you've lost 8 in a row or 5 out of or whatever it may be. And getting guys to do what they're capable of doing as opposed to trying to do too much. Because when you try to do too much and not what you can do on the field, that's when it starts snowballing even more.
What is it like having a manager back you up like that? When you get caught at first you get that type of show? Like, what does that do for the players?
Well, I have two things about that. Number one, they took a hit away from me.
Yeah.
And it was my birthday.
No challenges.
It was my birthday and they took a hit away from me. So, God rest his soul. I think Rick Reed passed away then. He's since the umpire, I believe. But no, that's just, you know, you have a manager that has your back, and it'll go down as one of the top 5 ever ejections as a manager. So I guess it's fun to be a part of that. But they still took a hit away from me on my birthday.
Yeah. That should be a birthday clause.
Right? It'd be a birthday clause.
That's a good segue, though, Jason, because I want to get your opinions on the evolution of the catcher position. It's changed a lot since you've been in the game. You know, framing was a big part of the game here for the past decade, and now you've got ABS. What are your overall thoughts on how the position has changed?
I can't stand the knee. You have to change with the times. I understand that. And I'm with the commissioner now, and I've been going with all of these. I've been in certain meetings about all of these new rules. Do I like it? No. Do I personally think I've never used the word framing. Just catch the ball.
Yeah.
Use soft hands and catch the ball. They have all this framing stuff now. I guess it you have to learn to change the times. More than anything, these guys better watch out because their midsection's wide open. And if you haven't had kids yet and you get a foul tip, you might not have kids. But you know what? I always say, you know what? Because the one thing about catching is everybody's different. Everybody moves different. Everybody's different athletic ability. Getting your best blocking position. The thing that bothered me more than anything about being on a knee is ninth inning, got a slider in the dirt. Now you got a pitcher out there who's not throwing a pitch with conviction, and that's when the ball gets in the dirt and you let up. And then that one game, everybody talks about, oh, we lost that game in April. That one game in April might be what makes or break it at the end. And I was a part of that. 6 years in a row, it came down to either the 162nd game or the 163rd game having a playoff. That was in Milwaukee in 2008. ABS. I didn't like it at first because I had relationships with a pitcher. And if I get a pitcher that's going to be consistently around the plate, I can get that inch off the plate. I can be like, hey, Bob, he's going to be there. And I move my glove. Give me that. I don't know how much that's used now, but I think more than anything, the ABS is going to be used for playoff baseballs. And I've talked to most umpires out there and they like it because they don't want to be the difference maker in a playoff game or seventh game of the World Series or ALCS, whatever it may be. They don't want to be that. I mean, they're busting their butts back there. They're going to miss calls. They're humans. So most umpires like it because they don't want to be that, you know, listen, when you go to a ball game, you're going to get booed as an umpire.
Sure.
Bottom line, doesn't matter. But that takes away the threat of an umpire not deciding the game, a big game that might take a city to a championship.
Brian, talk about the ABS. I feel like you would have thrived with it back in the day with the eye at the plate.
It's really weird. If you watch so far first weekend of the season, there's been several outcomes. And when you watch SportsCenter on, like yesterday, they challenged the ball and strike call. Remember that? And mm-hmm. the game ended. So it's really weird. I would love it because I felt that
the zone was
my strength for my offense, right? But I think once you start establishing yourself a little bit, then you do get the benefit of the doubt and a doubt of the call, unless you're facing a Maddox or something like that. Sure. The Braves were ridiculous, right?
Right.
They got stuff. Any other batter's box.
Yeah. Hey,
and they already have good stuff, so it's hard to hit already. But when you start expanding the plate wide, that makes – I can adjust up and down. You start making that plate wider, it becomes very difficult.
And what I've tried to – tell people is leave the pitcher out of it. As a catcher, you know the strike zone. That's all you do in spring training. You just catch. You know if it's a strike or ball. As a hitter, you know the strike zone. Pitchers, they get a little, their emotions get going a little bit. Yes, everything's a strike and they all want it, which is the way you want to have a pitcher. But, you know, you don't want a pitcher out there going, that's a strike. No, it's not a strike. Let the catcher take care of it. And each team's going to be different, and let the hitter take care of it. Because as a hitter, you know the zone, and as a catcher, you definitely know if it's a strike or not.
Yeah, Brian, offensively speaking, too, like you had 4 or 5 consecutive seasons with 30-plus homers, around 300 or higher in average. I feel like today a lot of guys are, you know, selling contact for power. What was the big key for you making that consistent contact, but not just any contact, hard contact?
The strike zone.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're disciplined enough to know your strength as a hitter, and you can stay in that area of the plate where you're looking for that pitch, more consistently you're going to make good contact with it, right? And I think with all the analytics in the game now, it's crazy. I mean, I think I heard Mike Trout, he said it best, is like when you're launch angle and all this stuff, how do you get backspin? He's like, I hit down through a baseball. And if I hit down through a baseball, it's going to backspin. And that's when you're going to get the most travel out of it. So it's just one of those things where we're in that era of different language that they use in the game. I wouldn't know how to teach that these days, but I would know how to teach you how to hit a baseball. I guarantee you that.
Jason, talk about you've been in baseball for a long time now too, and now you're in a different role. How do you see that language developing as you grow up throughout this game from the time that you came up with the Pirates and learning how to hit major league pitching to now where you got whole hitting labs, pitching labs, you're attaching wires to guys, looking at hip thrust and arm movement. Like, it's night and day compared to when you guys got here, right?
100%. It's night and day. You know, as far as the analytics go as well, I was using analytics. It was just different verbiage. Sure. I mean, I could sit here and look over. I could tell you right now that Andrew Jones stole most of his bases on a 1-1 count. And that's when, okay, I'll put a slide step on him. It's just human nature. You don't even know you're stealing on a 1-1 pitch, but that's what he did. And I can go down a line with certain guys still in my head, which is ridiculous, and tell you what they like to steal on what. That's analytics. What did I call it? I called it just being prepared. I called it being prepared and knowing what to do, when to do it, and trying to be ahead of the other team, the other manager. So he's still different verbiage, but there are a lot of things. And I think more than anything, these travel teams today for Little League on up, geez, it's expensive. These guys don't know the game. Just teach them the game. Teach them the game. Teach them how to, you know, sack fly. Teach them how to tag up.
Hey, Bob, I think the word we used when we played, it was probably just tendencies because you studied the opponent, yeah, right?
Right.
Their tendencies.
Being prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's called analytics, I guess. I don't know.
So, I mean, there needs to be a mediator between the baseball right. and the analytics. And it's because you use all that stuff.
We talk to guys all the time and we ask the question, like, how often are you using analytics? And they're like, you know, I try and balance that between that and having just a feel for the game. Because if you're a ball player, you know what's happening. You have like a feel for what you're about to see at the plate. Is that kind of how you would put it?
Yeah. And getting back to the managing part of it, there's certain guys that don't mess with them. Don't give them analytics because don't get in their heads. Yeah. There's certain guys that want it and want to use it, but you have to know those personalities, who wants it, who doesn't want it. But the guys that are just, don't even, now as manager, don't go to him, leave him alone. And then there's guys that be like, hey, he needs this. He needs to be able to, whether it be spin or whatever rate it is, he might need that to have success. So you have to know the different personalities and who wants it, who needs it, and who can benefit from it.
Jason, I feel like nowadays, too, the number of offensive catchers we have in the game has decreased a bit. I mean, I know Cal Raleigh had an unbelievable season last year, but what for you, like, you were a guy that did it on both sides of the game, defensively and offensively. What was the key for you to maintain both sides of the game?
You definitely have to split things up. And if you go 0-for-4, you better be a completely different player mindset behind the plate. And it's a lot easier said than done. Because the thing about baseball is an offensive player, you get hits, you sleep good at night, bottom line.
Sure.
Now you got the catcher position and if you don't, I've always said catchers should have an L next to their name if they lose in the box score the next day along with the pitcher. I've always said that because that's your job. Now being able to split that up, it's a lot easier said than done and it's difficult, but you have to do it. And, you know, again, with the catchers today, I saw somebody sign the other day that was hitting 110 and he a catcher and he got like $5 million. I'm like, I can go catch 10 games and hit 110 right now. I'm like, what? But I think it's all going to come full circle. And but to get a catcher both offensively and Cal Raleigh brought back a little bit of that catching last year. I mean, kudos to him because he had one heck of a career. And so, you know, he put the catchers back on the map a little bit.
Ryan, what would you say is the biggest difference from when you started your career to the end, the biggest life lesson you learned baseball-wise?
Baseball-wise? Have fun, yeah. Honestly. I'm a light, funny guy, I think. Myself, you know, I only had a 2.8 in high school, so it made it very difficult. But so it's a frustrating game, right?
Yeah.
If you hit 300, it was a really good year. That means 70% of the time we failed. Right. I had to have fun with it. Because if I dwelled on it too much, I'd go in the tank.
Yeah.
So even when things, and when we talked about it earlier, it's being even keeled. It's a long season. You're going to get 600 plate appearances. It's a long season. You have to deal with that success. You have to deal when you stink. And that's just the reality of it. And the more you can come to the conclusion that that's going to happen and you understand that, but then stay within who you are as a player. And that's the hardest thing because you fail a lot in this game, so you got to stay true to yourself.
What are your guys' thoughts on the current Pirates roster and the direction of the team? I know we haven't seen a lot of winning here in Pittsburgh outside of the 13 to 15 years when Kutch was here, but, you know, the Pirates made a conscious effort to go out and spend money this offseason and bring in new players to boost this offense. What are your guys' thoughts on the team this year?
Right now, they got a good squad. They have pitching. Yeah. Bottom line is they have pitching. And everybody talks about schemes, but your bullpen and your 2, 3, 4, 5, they're good.
Yeah.
And you can put up some runs. You're going to be in a game. I mean, if late in the season, if you're in a pennant race, you don't want to come here and play. But I mean, I don't know. And it's so difficult to tell the first 2 weeks of the season. You just want to get opening week over with. It's so exciting. It's just an amazing feeling. But you want to get, okay, you know what? We got a week underneath our belts. Let's go. And you'll see guys getting a little bit more relaxed, locked sure. in. I mean, I was at the WBC and I watched it. And I can honestly say that the USA, Team USA, the last two innings that I saw against Venezuela, they finally started getting their timing down a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's getting through all those nerves, getting through all the first week opening day stuff. It's fun. It's difficult. But I think you'll see this team roll. I mean, I don't know. I know they have pitching.
Yeah.
And we can go from there. That's the start.
I know we lost 100 games in 2001 when we opened this place up, right? But when we left Bradenton, Florida, we didn't have Jason Schmidt. We didn't have Francisco Cordova. We didn't have Chris Benson. They were hurt.
Right.
You lose your top three starters. No team's going to overcome. I don't care who it is. The Yankees, they aren't going to do it. So the good thing I like about this team, they're young. It seems like they've mixed in some veterans with the young guys, but you don't have a division now. When we played, it was St. Louis and Houston. That's a tough hurdle. There were some really good players. Those were consistently good teams. And they don't have that. This is a wide open division. Yeah, I'm so
good. I'm sure you've been asked this a million times this weekend, but Connor Griffin, 19 years old, had a great debut yesterday. You've seen it with Aramis Ramirez back in the day. Jason, you're what, 22? When you get called up, how difficult is that to adapt to a day-to-day life being a Major League Baseball player at such a young age? And what advice would you give to Connor for his Major League career?
You know, we spoke to him 2 days ago, actually, right when he got called up. Yeah. And just seems like a good kid.
Yeah.
He handles himself very professionally. Again, first time we met him, has all the talent in the world. Absolutely. And if he can have, I'm from LA and I said this yesterday, but I grew up here. I was 21 in the big leagues. And you grow up, you don't know just how to live and you say some things. You guys know what I'm talking about. Aramis Ramirez, the same thing. I hope Connor Griff can have the same career as Aramis Ramirez had, because that's a pretty special career Rami had. But he seems like he checks all the boxes. He looks like it.
Yeah, he's. We spoke to him Thursday?
2 days ago.
Yeah, Thursday in the clubhouse. We were there and he was getting his locker all set up. I don't know much of him. I mean, this is the first time I've been back to Pittsburgh since 2009 when I was with the Padres. So it's good to see a lot of faces that, you know, I kind of grew up with myself, because this is the city gave me an opportunity to play every single day. But he grows a mustache. I couldn't grow a mustache.
At 19, no. Yeah, you couldn't either. No, I couldn't.
Okay. See, he looks a little different now, huh?
Oh, it's what I was telling him last night. We went to Del Frisco's, the steakhouse.
Yeah. Rather new too.
When I was here, we went to a steak dinner. It was Morton's, because that was the only steakhouse around.
Well, that's a good segue, because one of my last questions was, you know, you guys probably haven't been back here too much since your playing days, but what are some spots that you love to hit up while you're in Pittsburgh, restaurants or places you'd like to visit maybe on off days?
Morton's was my place if we had the opportunity, but Jason and I, we both live like 30 minutes north of the city, so we didn't really go downtown much, and it's evolved so much.
Completely different.
Yeah, it's so different. Yeah.
There was, we started out with Three Rivers.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah.
Now you had two stadiums, and then the Clark Bar. And then now you had two stadiums, nothing in between. It's gorgeous.
It's so different. And it's even since 2009, it's evolved. I was shocked when I came here and walked around a little bit. I was like, wow.
It helps the NFL draft. They're preparing for that. Completely different to us, too.
Couple questions for me. One, what was the favorite Pirates jersey that you wore during your time here? There was a couple of mix of them. We had the sleeveless. You had the all blacks. Did you have a favorite?
That's a great question. Yeah. I think I'd say the black ones or the sleeveless ones.
Did you like the sleeveless ones?
I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it either.
I didn't mind them at all. Yeah.
Because you had to wear that dry
fit. I did. Right? Yes. I did like the Friday night black
arm. Yeah, it looked like you had big arms. Yeah. But yeah, it was, they did a good job with their unis here.
What was the toughest pitcher you faced in your career? I know we brought up Maddux earlier. I mean, that might be
mine for sure was Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I played against him, honestly, we put this on the air. My mom said, if I get a hit, I'll be in Sports Center. So that's why I played.
They don't make him like Randy anymore. Yeah. I mean,
oh, he was scary.
Yeah.
And left side, he's coming over your shoulder. Oh. I couldn't see span.
Yeah.
It was just like, you're playing against him because you're tough.
Right. What about you, Jason?
Those guys I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with Randy Johnson, Greg Maddux. I didn't have a problem with any of those guys. My last year playing, I was in the Kansas City Royals. I was in Anaheim. I had two hits. I'm feeling myself. They bring this guy in. All right. I look up. I don't even know who he is. I'm 0 for 25. Hit a hard ground ball up the middle. It hits off the mound of the shortstop out. 0 for 26. Guys, I didn't know. And I still to this day can't think of it. I know it in the back. I just can't get it right now. But guys, you don't know how much their ball moves, how much it sinks, how much it cuts. The guys you see over and over and over again, you start getting 5, 10, 15, 20 at bats. You kind of know what they're going to do. And you can kind of guess along with them. Those guys were easier for me to hit, but the guys I didn't know. Your September call are not your spot starts for like a doubleheader. Right. Those guys that you know, the Triple A, those ones, you got to figure them out a little more.
Sure. Well, hey, we appreciate you guys joining us. This was fun. I'll tell you what, stroll down memory lane. I grew up on those early 2000 teams, so it's an honor and privilege for us to sit down with you guys, and welcome back to Pittsburgh. Hope you guys enjoy the game.
You guys keep doing a good job, and thanks for having us. This is fun.
We need a hat.
I guess you had.
One's in the mail.
Best seats at the Pirates game. They let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money because I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer. Take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates. And it-